Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You walk around, oh yeah, I'm a tough guy. I can handle this. Really? How tough are you going to be?
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, we'll study the 11th of the 12 marks of a difference-making believer. As we study James 5, verses 13 through 18, we'll learn about the importance of prayer and local church involvement.
The whole study here of James, a very powerful man, that was a very humble man, but like a coach, very direct, succinct statements to those believers there in Jerusalem and scattered all throughout Jerusalem, a letter that he wrote. And so, number 11, local church involvement, chapter 5, 13 to 18. Let's read that out loud, and I will then say more about the reason why it's a local church involvement, because this whole chapter and the whole book is related to people in a church, a local church, and then those that were attached to that church that have been scattered through much persecution, some of them just decisions, there were other business opportunities that spread out, but he saw characteristics of their life they needed and was saying, if you're going to make a difference, you got to be different. And to be different, he gives exact expressions of that difference. One of those is being involved in a local church. And he mentions this is the involvement that you can have and that we all need. Lots of questions about what do some of these verses mean. We'll talk about that. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. Let's read this out loud together. Ready? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Today we're going to be talking about local church involvement. And what does it mean in the three situations that we can and we should pray to be able to see God answer? Let me give you what I see in the text, very simply, is three situations in which God answers prayer. What does all of this mean? Again, this is us as a church and the local church involvement. He encourages us to pray. That's what he's doing. And so the emphasis is not so much on sickness and how you heal that, as much as it is the overemphasis is prayer in a local church. Let me give you, first of all, is verse 13, very simply, a general statement that would give us the first of three situations. First of all, understand that God answers prayer during the normal concerns of life. God answers prayers during the normal concerns of life. In other words, being in a place to realize that for people in everyday living, normally you're going to have challenges. In other words, prayer for the usual times of a church member. That's what he's talking about. You see, the idea is there are times throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month, that you know what? There are times that you're going to be afflicted. There are times that you're going to be happy. Times you're happy. Man, I'm singing psalms. Life is great, but life's not always great. And there are times that you are afflicted. What does he mean by the very simple word afflicted? It means suffering in difficult circumstances. He knew that there were going to be great difficulties. These people had great difficulties. What should we do when we find ourselves in trying circumstances? He's saying, listen, there are times you're going to be in troubles, and you need to be patient. He says that in verse 7 and 8, just a sentence or two before he gets to this, if any among you afflicted. Notice what he says in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And living in light of eternity helps us to say, God, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be patient with those people. And then he uses the idea, notice in verse 11, the patience of Job. And he uses the prophets and he uses Job. That's not the same term of patience as with people. This is the term of staying under. And he's talking about circumstances. And what James is saying is, listen, there are times you're going to be afflicted. He had already said it in relationship to like Job, who's showing endurance. That's the term of staying under. Don't run away. You know where he's saying it? Because there were people in his day, in James, that had a tendency to get under pressure. And you know what they wanted to do? Run. And who was he talking to? People, listen, that were scattered abroad. Do you remember that? He's talking to people that they had left Jerusalem. Some of them because of persecution. Some of them, there was business. There was other things going. And they scattered out. And so they knew they're not living by the temple as a Jew. They're not living right there within walking distance. They're very far away. So when he said, you stay under, if you're afflicted, you end up not trying to run away from your problems. And you know what I find for most of us? That's exactly what we want to do. I'm out of here. Yeah, buddy, you treat me that way, I'm out of here. Yeah, boss, you can't treat me that way. Here's my 2-week notice. Nah, that's not my 2-week notice. I'm out of here now. Tough guy. The whole company's going to fall. And you come crawling meekly back on your hands and knees because you can't find another job, and you want a job back from that same guy. It's exactly what happens with our marriages. You're under pressure. He's an idiot. Well, why did you marry him? What does that say of your intelligence? That or he wasn't, and you made him that way. That's free. That wasn't in my notes. I'm so sorry. Hey, you know what? You use these things to stay under, to be afflicted. These are normal occurrences of life. On top of the fact, he's saying, there are times that you're joyful, you're happy. I mean, life is good. Let me tell you something. Life can be good. Life cannot be good. God's always good. His loving kindness, which is exactly what he says when he says in the end of verse 11, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He's just reminding these people, listen, I know you're under it, but these are just usual times of a church member. And the Bible nowhere promises that Christians will have an easy life, but the Bible does tell us what to do when trials come. So when that happens, Psalms 119:71, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Or he says it in Isaiah 49:13, and I will have mercy upon the afflicted. God's saying, listen, this is normal. Just because you're a Christian does not remove you from the normal difficulties and problems of life. And James is saying, listen, whatever they may be, you be in a place to say, God, I'm going to pray to you because you're the only one really that can be able to give me relief, and you're going to give it to me at the time and necessary because it's not going to come any sooner or any later. Prayer can remove affliction if that's God's will. But prayer can also give us the grace we need to endure troubles. James 4:6, he says, do you remember? James 4:6, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. humble. You walk around, oh yeah, I'm a tough guy. I can handle this. Really? How tough are you going to be? So his emphasis, very simply, is God answers prayer during the normal concerns of life. Praise infuses the energy of God, and it confuses the enemies of God, as one great man said. I think that's true. He infuses the energy of God when we praise him. God, today I'm afflicted. Man, tomorrow it's happy. The ups and downs of life, I'm going to end up knowing it's infusing the energy of God in me when I praise, and it's going to confuse the enemies of God. So very simply, sometimes we don't feel like praying. But if there were ever a time that we need to pray, it's when we don't feel like it. We need to pray until we do feel like it. This is the response. If you've got that, then you can understand that James moves forward with now not just the prayer of the normal concerns of life, but he moves forward also with the prayer that God answers in healing sickness and even forgiving sins. He mentions it in verse 14. Look at your Bibles. He says in a question form, which James gives these short questions and short answers that leave very sharp points to make. They're very effective. When he says, now verse 14, he says, now listen, are any of you sick among you? What do you do? This isn't just the prayer now of normal living. He says, listen, here's where God answers prayer in healing sickness. In other words, it's the prayer for that special times of a sick person. What do? You see, that first prayer is prayer of individuals. This is a prayer that is for pastors and those in a local church involvement. Now, some people have taken this out of context and just laid this out here. And I've had people that have used this like, oh, okay, what do? I'm sick today. I got a cold. What do? Man, I better call for the elders of the church, the pastors. And I'm going to let them pray over me. And I'm going to have them anoint me with oil in the name of the Lord. Is that what he's saying? Every time I get sick, man, call the pastor. Is that what he's meaning by that? What does he mean by anointing with oil? I remember the first time I ran across this was we were at a church. My wife and I traveled through a revival ministry for a couple of years in one particular church in Whittier, California. They had a big vial of oil down front. And I didn't grow up with that. And I thought, this is unique. Maybe they'll have a healing service. Rip out the old oil. I'm going to see what's going to go on. And they didn't. I had some people that started finding Christians, pastors saying, God doesn't want you to be sick. You know, it's not God's will for you to be sick. Then I'm reading, I'm going, well, James said, is any of you sick? Evidently, there were Christians in the New Testament church that were sick. It's not God's will for you to be healthy all the time. You might be healthy all the time, but there's no quicker way for us to realize we're human and God's not than when we get sick. Now, what does he mean by that? Let me help you understand by, I think, his one statement is, when trials come, don't wring your hands, bend your knees. Good way to say it. We get wringing our hands rather than bending our knees and saying, God, I need your help.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.